Morning, everyone. How are you? My name's Clinton. This is my lovely wife, Leah. Leah, do you want to just stand up for a second? She's got a bit of a sore foot, so that's why she's sitting down a little bit. That's my wife, Leah, and my daughter, Charlotte. Yeah, let's give them a hand. All right. So if I jump down on there at different times, is that okay? It's not being videoed or anything, is it? We're good. Okay, beautiful. All righty. Well, I greet you all the way from C3 Mandurah. That's our beautiful home church that we're pastoring. And we've been there for just over a year now, about a year and 3 or 4 months. Prior to that, we were pastoring at a church called C3 Langford, which is now C3 Stand. And there's all these changes and that, but in names with churches across the denomination. But glad to see that we're going to be praying together and meeting together. It's going to be awesome. And so for those that don't know me, tall, dark, and handsome. So obviously there's a couple that need some spec savers. Yeah, let's go there. One out of three is not bad. Even then now, I think as you get older, do you shrink? I don't know if that's a thing, but anyway. I've been pastoring for about 25 years now in ministry. Planted a church. Oh, when was that, Leah? Can you remember? About 25 years ago. And in the front room of our home. And then we migrated to a place we called the Mouse House because it was, I think it was half the size of this. Just like one just little area. Quarter of size. That's why it was the Mouse House. And on most Sundays, you know, we didn't have a band. We just had backing tracks. So we could be singing like the newest Hill song back in the day just because it had a backing track. And so there were more singers than what there were people in the seats. More singers on stage. But it's just amazing how God is faithful and He brings you through. And then we had a young guy that was doing... He's just involved in drugs and all kinds of stuff. Bit of a surfy dude, dreadlocks, all kinds of rings in all kinds of places on his body, tongue ring, the whole lot, spaces in his ears. And he decided, God touched his life amazingly. So he decided to bring all his druggy mates to church. So then we had more druggy mates than Christians in the pews. And hygiene probably wasn't a priority. And so, obviously, it just created an aroma in the building that wasn't probably enticing for anyone that was new that was coming. And then besides getting a shakedown in the car park, so they would do their gear before service, walk in with that smell, and then we'd do service, and they're all sitting there and whatever else. And then as we went out of the car park, then the police would roll up. And so then you see them all standing on the wall and they're getting shaken down by the cops. So that was Jubilee World Harvest Church. That's how our church started all those years ago. But God has been faithful ever since. And so I was really inspired by you guys today. That there's a spirit of faith in this place. There's a spirit to believe God. But you know what? This is great. But I don't even know the population of Medina. Is this Benita? Quinana? If someone's really good on your phone, if you can just Google population of Quinana, that would be awesome. It looks like I prepared it before. Over 60,000. The city of Quinana? Okay. And there's Gilmore College here and a few other schools. Yep. And guess you're here as well. And today's going to be part of just understanding. So Kingdom Catalyst is the vision that Pastor Stephen Unami have brought to you as a church. And today we're going to literally look a little bit deeper than the doing. We're really going to look at what lights our fire. What's the thing that we stand? We've been singing about the kingdom of God. And part of that, oh, look at that. Thank you, Jesus. Part of understanding the kingdom of God, and normally I would go, like, what do you think the kingdom is? But then people are too shy and I'm new and I get all of that. But the kingdom of God, let's just do this. The kingdom of heaven the Bible speaks of and the kingdom of God. Is it one of the same? Is it the same thing? The kingdom of heaven is where God lives. Okay, the kingdom of heaven is where God lives. The kingdom of God, it's a little bit confusing. Like, wouldn't you just go, the kingdom of God is where God lives? But the kingdom of God is where God's influence is. So kingdom of heaven is where he lives. That's his house. That's his home. Yep. And then the kingdom of God is where his influence is. All right? So that's just a little bit of understanding, a little bit about kingdom. So when we're starting to talk about the kingdom of God, we're starting to understand that he lives in heaven, God does, and that his influence is here on earth. All right? And we're going to speak, because as we pray, as it is in heaven, let it be here on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're asking God, listen, whatever your kingdom looks like in heaven, let it be here on earth. All right? I've started, like, I can see your faces are going like, brother, when are you going to just come and do something simple so we can go home after this? Yes, we are. But that's my hope. I'm giving you the end of the message, all right? Because I know I'm not going to get there. But we're going to start at the place of what really is the fire of God and lights our fire in God, okay? So now I'm one of those guys that go, all right, you need to make notes. Grab your phone out. Don't get distracted by Facebook. If you don't have a pen or a paper, and if you have a Bible, just lift it up with me for a second. I want to lift up the Word of God. If it's on your phone, you've got an app on your phone. If you don't have a Bible, ask your neighbor, can you buy me a Bible this week? That'd be awesome. See, the Word of God is something so precious and so valuable. This is not just, I get it. Sometimes it's a bit boring. Sometimes I don't know, it doesn't make sense. But I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to make this book alive to each and every one of us. And so I encourage the church this morning in Frio just to go, don't be distracted from this moment. I've had a gift of pastoring for 25 years to put people to sleep. If you suffer from insomnia, just listen to one of my messages. You'll have a great sleep. I jest. My prayer is that the Word of God will become alive and powerful to you. That's what Hebrews says about itself. And that the Word would become a part of your life. This book has the power to literally cause your mind to be renewed and transformed. And Jesus wasn't happy enough just for him to be, or God, sorry, wasn't happy enough just to be a God like in the tabernacle, in the old school, in the Old Testament, to be amongst his people. See, he was in heaven and he goes, it's too far away. I want to be among them. I want to be among them. Let's build a tent. My presence will be in that place. And he sets it all up. And then Jesus comes and he says that God became flesh and he dwelt among the people. He walked around with humanity. He walked and did what he did. But then he goes, that's not enough. He says, I want to be in them. And so we see the new covenant that we read in Hebrews. It says, I think it's Hebrews 8, which he talks about. It says that I will write my laws upon their minds and their heart. And they will know that I'm their God. Isn't that extraordinary? I think it just goes beyond our religion. It goes beyond everything that we go, because to be honest with you, it would be boring to come to church every Sunday if there was no revelation of who he was. It would be boring to pray and to read a book that you struggle to get anything out of. It'd be difficult to grab onto that if he didn't reveal the hiddenness of who he is in them. That Jesus Christ is on every page. So can we just pray? You got your Bible? Good luck with this message today. It's going to probably become like a bit of a fire hydrant at you. There's going to be all sorts. But if you're making notes, God will speak to you. I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to meet with us. Holy Spirit, with the Word of God that we hold in our hands, we never ever want to take this book lightly. We never want to just make this book part of our religious duty. This book is alive and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. On one hand, it, Lord God, it cuts away like a scalpel every dead thing, And on the other hand, it builds and transforms and renews and renovates our lives and our hearts and our minds. This is the avenue in which you bring your kingdom here on earth. And so, Father, we give ourselves to you. Holy Spirit, you have freedom to interrupt, to speak to people while they're listening, and that they will know you in these next few minutes. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're good? We're good? Come on, people, we're good? Yeah, that's better. Colossians, the book of Colossians. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, 13 to 15 is what we're going to read. I love what the scripture, I think it's in the Old Testament, it might be Jeremiah, I can't think of the reference right now. But it says that he watches over his word. God watches over his word to perform it. Okay? God watches over his word to perform it. So he wants to perform his word. He's watching over his word. He's just waiting to hear that word back to him. So I'm waiting. How can I perform my word in your life? We sang about it. Waymaker, miracle worker. We sang about, the attributes of God. And he's saying, listen, I'm watching over my word to perform it. That means he doesn't watch so much over my words to perform it. Unless it's his word in my mouth, then he does, yes. But if it's my complaining, when I'm complaining about, or I'm having a go at, or I'm insecure and I'm bringing all of those things up, and maybe the reasons why God can't, he can't perform any of that. But what he will do, he'll perform his word in my mouth. Amen? The word of God in your mouth is alive and powerful, Hebrews 4. The word of God. Turn to your neighbor and go, the word of God is powerful. Oh, come on, it's alive. Oh, the word of God is alive and powerful. Alive and powerful. All right, let's go look for the living right here in the word of God. Colossians chapter 1, and we're reading 13 to 15. We're good? If it's like getting too much, just hold your hand up and go, just stop for a second. And then we'll just keep going after that. All right, Colossians chapter 1. He delivered us from the power of darkness. So he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us, I'm new from the New King James, conveyed us, that word means he's transferred us. So he has delivered us, we got that. You're making a note of that. Great to see you writing it down. So he has delivered me from the power of darkness. Darkness has the power. And some of us have experienced that in our lives. Some of us have known the power of darkness. Some of us have known the power of the occult. Some of us have known the power of abuse. Some of us have known the darkness of abandonment. Some of us have known all levels of darkness. But God has said to, God's word speaks to us and to you and me today, that beyond all of those things, those traumatic things that have happened in our lives, there was one darkness that was more powerful than them all, and that was the power of sin. And we were born, we didn't even have an option. We were just born into it. We came into it. But that wasn't good enough for God. He says, no, I'm going to set them free. I'm going to deliver them. And we're going to read how he did that through that. So he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Amen. And, there's more. There's some steak knives. So he's delivered us and he has transferred us into, say the word into. So I was in darkness. Yeah, we were there. And then he says, all right, I'm transferring you into the kingdom of the Son of my love. Oh, my days. Darkness, separated from God, not in a relationship, and a loving heavenly Father, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So I want to speak to our believer. You know that little thing in our hearts? Whether we believe him or we don't. God, I'm trying to believe you, but this has happened. And God, I know, and this is, and we give reasons why. But I want to talk to you about what Jesus Christ has done for you. Because if you're going to be a kingdom catalyst, I do not want you to do this out of your ability just to do something. when we serve and when we worship lead and when we usher and when we teach kids church and when we help out in youth group, we're not doing it out of it because I can do a task. We're doing it because the fire on the inside of us is burning to the point of going, you know what? I was in darkness, but he transferred me into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now we know that as the kingdom of light because Jesus Christ is the light of the world. But the wording that he puts, that the Holy Spirit breathes into the writing of the book of Colossians, he says, no, it's the Son of his love. Like he loves his son and he's taken you and he's transferred you into that family. Like you're a son and a daughter of God. Oh, yeah, no, but you know, I just don't feel it. It's just been a really hard time. Sorry, I don't make light of that because it has been a lot. It has been a hard time. I get it. But I'm not speaking to your soul realm now. Your mind, your will, your emotions, your imagination. That's your soul. There's your physical body. Your soul is your mind, your will, your imagination, emotions, all in there. Then there's your spirit, man. And what God is speaking, he's speaking into your spirit. And going, you've been transferred out of darkness into the Son of his love. So what does that look like? So how does God see you? He sees you as being transferred into. But the thing is, we've come from darkness into light, but I've taken and I brought all the baggage of my darkness with me and my hurts and my wounds, and I've come into Christian life and I've come into faith, but I'm still dealing with all of this stuff back that was part of my history and part of my life. And with everything in my heart, I want to go, I will counsel you and we'll do that. And there's need for that. Please don't hear anything else. But I either believe that I was in darkness and he brought me out. And everything that was part of my darkness, he has actually literally taken away. I now have to reconcile that. When insecurity comes, when depression comes, when woundedness comes, when addiction comes, when fear comes, when temptation comes, when lust comes, what am I doing? Oh, just, yeah, no worries. You can just do whatever you want to do with me. No. I was in darkness, but I've been transferred into the kingdom of his light. All right, you good? I should actually just read the scripture and then let's just move on. We've got 10 to get through. Good luck to you. And then he's conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood and, or the forgiveness of sins, not and, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have redemption. So that word's just saying that you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I don't know if there's any old school Christians, I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Back in the day, we used to sing that song. The redemption means it's just that it's been paid for you in full. He has bought you back. He bought you out of darkness because he had to. Because Adam and Eve back in the day, they gave over the authority of humanity to the enemy. We were born into sin. And so now Jesus Christ comes with the payment to buy each and every one of us back into the family of God, into who he is, the Son of God's love. And he's saying, listen, I am paying the price. So turn to your neighbor and go, you've been redeemed. You're all paid for. Come on, you're all paid for. Oh, I want to speak into your spirit. I know your emotions are a bit like quiet inside in here. But I want to tell you, you have been all paid for, people. Amen. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Oh, there's a song in that for us, yeah. I probably won't sing it to you right now. So that he has conveyed you into the kingdom in whom you have redemption. And this is what I was talking about. That the stuff of our past and in the darkness of what we lived in has no right to be a part of your life anymore, because the blood of Jesus speaks a better word. And that's what Revelation says. So whatever's coming against you, the blood of Jesus speaks a better word. The blood of Jesus speaks. Redeemed. Paid in full. Come on. Oh, but I'm feeling. No, paid in full. my fear. No, no, I'm paid in full. Perfect love, the love of God casts out fear. That's the receipt that you have. Back in the day, we used to do lay-bys. I don't know if do people still do lay-bys? It's all online anyway. And I remember used to go, like my dad was buying me a bike. My wife does it, used to do it really good. She's a gun shopper, especially when they were little kids. And got all the specials, but we'd put everything on lay-by. So you would take all this stuff that you wanted to buy, and they put it in this big black plastic bag, and then they put it on some shelves. And then you get a receipt. And then every week, however, you'd go there, pay a little bit off, and leave. Still don't get it. And then come back, pay a little. But then the last payment, you're looking so forward to that, because now all the clothes that you put on lay-by 3 months ago, it's a change of season. You're probably not going to wear it for another year. But anyway, you bought it. And you come and you pay that last payment and they give you the bag. That's the picture of the blood of Jesus. Everything that you needed in your life has been paid for, justified, just as if I never sinned, paid in full, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, paid in full. That's who you are. We were singing about that's who He is. That is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker. And I wonder when we're singing that, what's the context? That He's going to make a way, or He already has. Because He already has made a way. Maybe we need to take our receipt, the Word of God, and go to heaven and go, you paid for this. Show the enemy He's already paid for this. So darkness, you're trying to hold me. I don't live here anymore. I've been transferred into the kingdom of the Son of His love. See, that's why this book will change your life. It'll change your perspective in the midst of a storm. Imagine if people paid out on you and insulted you and offended you and it didn't have the impact. When I was at school and they used to call me all kinds of words because I had an afro. Can you believe that? I looked like a microphone. I was all skinny. I know, you can't believe that. Settle down. I had a skinny body and a big afro on top of my head. I know, tall, dark, and handsome. That was what it was, definitely. And you got called all kinds of names because you were black, and you can imagine the N-word and all kinds of stuff, and lived in apartheid in South Africa. And you know what? We can have all nitty-gritty and get my knickers in a twist about all of that and, you know, stand on, oh, you know, don't you call me those names, sorry. It's raining. Just chuck it on the side, that's fine. Those are my little markers. They're all over there. Serviettes, papers, just that's fine. But when God renews your heart and your mind, those stuff don't affect you. I don't have to bring that offense over to the kingdom of light. Because then what I'm doing is I'm saying, you know what, God, You're not strong enough, powerful enough, able enough to actually release me from that. But anyway, let's read some more. We're probably going to get through one today, one of these passages, one of the 10. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. My sin separated me from Him. My sin had a wage, a pay packet that said that wage, the payment for that sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is to bring me into eternal life. Eternal life is not just my golden ticket so that I can actually get into heaven. Eternal life in John 17 says this, that you may know Him. This is eternal life, 17:3, that you may know Him, the only God, the only true God. That's eternal life. So how do I get to know Him? He's literally given us this book to go, hey, listen, I'm in here, I'm in every page. Come on. He wants to bring us on a discovery tour that will reveal who He is. So we already know today, just as we've just read a few verses. What time do we finish? Now? 5 o'clock. Yes, awesome. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. And I just feel I want to tell you, it's not just the forgiveness of the sin that I did. It's the forgiveness of the sin that I'm doing right now. It's forgiveness of the sin I will do. Oh, but that's just cheap grace. No, that's the completed work of Jesus Christ. Whether I choose to live in that completed work, my own decision. I can choose to live in the freedom of that, or I can choose to live under the bondage of that. My choice. Unless I apply the word of God, it's not going to make a bean of difference in my life. The price of salvation is totally free. But becoming a follower of God means I've got to actually do something. If I'm going to take up my cross and I'm going to follow him, that means it's going to cost me something. If I'm going to take his word and apply it to my life, that means it's going to cost me something. But anyway, that's another message for another time. So he says that in whom we have redemption through the blood, and he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all of creation. I don't know if we've got a, have we got a glass or a plastic glass that's seeable? Thanks, Andrew. Sorry, mate. I should have probably asked for that earlier. So I just want you to know that you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb for the forgiveness of all your sin. And here, verses 15. All right. I don't even want to talk to your identity. Because your identity, yes, it's in Christ. But our identity is in a whole lot of different things. I want to talk about the image that you bear. See, because out of knowing whose image that I'm bearing comes my identity. So if I just talk to you about your identity, I'm not giving you the full truth. And listen to this verse in verse 15, because I know you're all following along and you're not bored and you're not tired and you're not going, come on, shut up, move on. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Part of what in Genesis chapter 1, God had this, so there's the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and they're having this party. Thank you, mate, yeah. In fact, Andrew's a, he's a good-looking lad, right? No, no, Andrew, come stand here because I might get you. I know he was just trying to get away. He's like, no. If you can just hold that glass. Genesis chapter 1 says this, and this is part of, so understanding who I am, that I'm transferred from darkness to light, that I have the precious love of God in my life. I've been redeemed, paid for in full. So as you stand here today, when God looks at you, he doesn't see the stuff that you've done. He literally sees you covered with the blood of Jesus. He sees that's who you are. All right. So one of the names of God is called Abba Father. Just turn to your neighbor and go, Abba Father. Come on, turn to your neighbor and go, Abba Father. And if you say Abba Father, you might give him some spittle. Don't do that. So one of the meanings of Abba Father means the source. Okay? The source. Not like we know like in regular chat today, oh, he's the source. No, no, not that source. Like hot sauce. No, no, no. This is, he's the source of life, source of everything. And so it pours into, this is your life. So let's just take this back a little bit. This is God the Father, Jesus. And so Jesus says this about him. He says, everything that I see my Father do and everything I hear my Father say, that's what I do. So in order to be a kingdom catalyst, the first and foremost thing, it always starts with a relationship. Before this form, like the task that you'll do and formula on how you're going to do that, it always starts at a place of understanding that you've been purchased with the blood of Jesus, that you're a son and you're a daughter, you're transferred into his life. He's done. He's dealt with all your past, all the backstory. And then he says, all right, I'm the source. You're the resource. Receiving the source, yeah? And he pours into you. So Jesus' disciples say that. Thanks, Andrew. You can just leave it there. Let's give it up for Andrew. What a model. Thank you, mate. And I know how much he loves. He's like, don't even clap. I just want to get to my seat. Here it is. Last few minutes and then we're going to be done. Whatever time you need, musicians need to come up, you just come up. God, you're the source of my life. And I'm going to position myself to a place that you can pour it in. Jesus says to his disciples, he says this. His disciples ask him, show us the Father. Please just show us the Father. If you can just do that. And he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because the Father had poured into him. As you become a kingdom catalyst, it's just part of your vision. And understanding that God is the source. Church is not your source. Ministry is not your source. Because at some point, someone's going to upset you. Some point, you're going to get hurt. Some point, something's going to happen. But if that's all you rely on, your cup's going to be empty. Because if you can imagine just drilling holes in here, no matter how much you pour into this, it's going to be empty. I felt the Holy Spirit say that for so many of us, we've been drinking from empty cups. We've been drinking from, I never had a father, or I wanted a father, or my father, or my mother. And it feels like you've been trying to drink from needing a father's love, and it's been an empty source. It's been an empty cup. And God is wanting you to know that in him, when he redeemed you, he paid for that. I paid for your healing for that. I paid for you to be restored for that. Whatever, that abuse, when someone just came and violently took what didn't belong to you, to them, and just took that from you, and the injustice of all of that, and the unfairness of all of that, and they stole from you, and they came to and just destroyed you. He says, I paid for that. But I want them to feel my pain. He says, I paid in full for that, for them, for you. Can I heal you? And so when we release that to him, it's like he plugs up the hole. So that when his love comes in, it fills me. Some of you have been in relationships. It's just a one-way street. Pouring love in, pouring love in, pouring love in. And nothing coming back. And the Holy Spirit wants you to know. You feel like it's a bucket with holes in and there's nothing reciprocated, nothing given back. He says, I paid for that. I paid for the deficit that you've received. Can you release that to me? And so when it comes to the Word of God, I can say, hey, listen, this is about reading your Word. It is about getting the butt and praying and doing our Christian disciplines. But if that's all you hear, all you're going to hear is do, 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 do. And if you don't, then you're not going to get filled up. But it's not about do, do, do. It's about be. Be in relationship. Because then that's when I fill you up. Be in that place. When the world looks at you, who do they see? And I'm more and more wanting them to see Jesus. I had a picture of a guy. Have you got that picture still there? Thank you. I don't know for those that were the last time I spoke about Honey Hands. Yep. So on the left, his name's Clint as well. So that's Clint Honey Hands. That was the day after his surgery, or a couple of days after his surgery. So he had a burst aneurysm on his brain. He was meant to die. It was a 50% chance of living. They're not Christians. He is now, though, which is awesome. I rang his wife she was doing some ministry in community. We were doing ministry in community. She wasn't a Christian. She was just running a club for kids in community. So that's what we were speaking about. But when I rang her, we finally got each other. She was really, like, you could hear her voice. She was rushed, and she was like, I just got a call. I've got to go see my husband. They're saying I've got to come and say goodbye. It's 50% chance of living. She's obviously traumatized, worried, was all heck. So I said, okay, no worries. And she's trying to be really nice on the phone and to talk. I said, listen, you need to focus on that. I'll let you go. She goes, I've just pulled into the hospital car park now. And this thought goes in my head, honey hands. So part of the thing that I personally practice is, God, I dip my hands in your love, like in a pot of honey, so that everything that I touch, everyone that I touch, would feel residue of your love. So that's what comes to me when I'm talking to her, who's not a Christian, who doesn't know me from a bar of soap. And the person that referred me is a Christian, said, please don't go all Christian on her. So I just said to her, hey, Kate, I just really want to say this to you. Could be really weird, but I have this picture of honey hands, and I explained what I explained to you. Can I ask you to do me a favor? When you get out of the car, pretend like you're dipping your hands. Can you imagine how crazy she must think I am? Pretend you're dipping your hands in this pot of honey, and then when you go to him, put your hands wherever that aneurysm is. Hang up the phone. Can you imagine the comment? Oh, no, you stupid idiot. What did you do that for? Oh, that was crazy. She's going to think you're nuts. And then what is this other person going to think of you? You just ruined everything that you set up in that conversation. About 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock that night, she just sends me an emoji with two big hands and a honeypot. And all she wrote underneath it, it works. She said that when they went into surgery, it hadn't burst. They said it, they thought it burst, but it was okay. So they were able to fix him. And so that was the photo of Clint. Because I was trying to get a photo of him. So that was in hospital. And then this guy on the right, on the 20th of December at 10:39, I got a call to say, Pastor Helio, that's who he is, a pastor friend of mine. He's only got a couple of hours to live. They've stopped all treatment. He had some cancer early in the year, but they were treating it. They thought they were on top of it. It was shrinking. All good news. The day before, he fell over. And then he just coughed up blood. They raced him in, had a look. There was all internal bleeding and blockages on the inside of him. They tried to do everything, and they just came to the point, listen, he's not going to make it. Bring the family in, come and say goodbye. This is at 10:30 at night. I got to Joondalup Hospital around about 11. We prayed for him. And this is why, because I went in there and I'm asking God, do I just go console the family or do we go to fight? And the reason that we went to go and fight was because of the word that the Lord gave me, my blood speaks a better word. And so we went in there and I said, Dave, I think we need to fight. He said, yep, okay. And we prayed. This is like 11:15 now at night in a cancer ward where people are at level 4 or whatever, and we're loud. And people are crying and people are in corridors, but we just prayed. 10-minute prayer, wasn't big, long, just lots of prayers went up for him. And then we just declared the blood of Jesus speaks a better word. Left it for about 10 or 15 minutes, and then he sort of startled awake and he just said, why is everyone here? And then went back to sleep. You should go. So then we said, oh, we better go. So then we had another 5-minute prayer at the end of it, and then I left. Ring me if anything happens. Not till about 4 o'clock the next day does his son ring me, and he says, there's been a marked improvement in Dad. This was about 4 days after, where Dad is now walking down the corridor that all these people were standing and crying. What I want you to hear out of that, to be a kingdom catalyst, it doesn't start with what you do, it starts with what you believe. Do you believe that you've been taken out of darkness and brought into light? Do you believe that you've been paid for in full? Paid for in full. And that's not just about your sin. That's with everything that comes with the kingdom of God. What is it that you're facing right now? That I can say a prayer, but maybe God wants to show you his word in that moment. And when I believe his word, that's what builds my faith. My faith doesn't come, as much as I'd love it to, by coming to church. It helps. My faith comes not just even by reading the word of God. Heresy. Faith comes by believing the word that I read. And I think that's the journey that he wants to take each and every one of us on. How's your believer? If it was like a fuel tank, is it full or is it just drained? So can we just close our eyes and we're going to pray. I just want you to fall in love with Him. But in order to fall in love with Him, you need to know Him. So I just want to give opportunity to anyone right here, right now. And I call this the prayer of exchange. If you've never given your life to Christ, in a moment, we're going to pray a prayer similar to this. Heavenly Father, I give my life to You in exchange for the life of Jesus. I give my sin to You in exchange for Your forgiveness. I give my heart to You, the brokenness of my heart, in exchange for Your healing. What could be the brokenness of Your body for Your healing? I give You my fear in exchange for Your love. I give You my anxiety and worry in exchange for Your peace. I give You all of me in exchange for all of You. So just even as I narrated that prayer, just to give You time to make a choice and a decision. We can stay in the kingdom of darkness, which has power in it to hold me. Or if I choose to believe in Jesus Christ, I can be transferred over into the kingdom of light. Your decision, Your choice. But if you're saying today, Pastor Clint, I want to make a decision and a choice of transfer out of darkness into light, sin to forgiveness, brokenness to healing, from fear into love, from worry and anxiety into peace. If that is you, I'm going to invite you right now just to take your right hand, just place it on your heart. That's all I'm asking you to do. Today, in mentioning that, I'm giving my life. Good on you, mate. That's awesome. Anyone else? Thank you, love. Good on you. Anyone else? This is that moment for you. That's just between you and Him. Today you're transferring out of darkness into light. Second group of people, you've been in church in this in Christendom and for a little while and just there's no real relationship with God. This is that moment for you as well. If that is you and you're just saying, I really recognized, I've been living outside of what everything that Jesus purchased for me. If that is you, then I just want you to grab your hand, put it on your heart as well. Enjoying these two people that have just so bravely made a decision today. Is there anyone else that just wants to say, God, I'm giving my life. Grit on you. Thank you, sir. Bless you. Anyone else? Yes. Thank you, love. Appreciate that. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you, sir. Bless you. Spirit of God is on this, on you. Just want to give one or two moments. I know there's a couple more people that just... This is not about anything else, just going, yeah, I want Him. We're going to just say this prayer. I'm going to say a few lines and then can you repeat it with me? And just for everyone that's got their hand on their heart, we're going to just agree with them. Heavenly Father, you say that. Heavenly Father, today I come to You wanting to be transferred out of darkness, out of its power, into Your light, into the Son of Your love. So today I receive the life of Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. And in exchange, I give You my sin. I give You my life. And today I receive Your forgiveness. Today I receive Your love in exchange for my fear. Today I receive Your peace in exchange for my worry and my anxiety. Today I receive Your healing for my brokenness. So thank you today that you have come into my life. And today I choose to live for you with everything in me, every day, every moment of every day. And today I become part of your family. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand. That's so awesome. I just want to commend the courage of the people today that you've taken a moment just to say yes to Him. And then there's a couple of people that I just feel we're going to dismiss the meeting, and if you need prayer, we're going to hang around to do that. But God's just really wanted to bring some freedom. And for some of you, there's just that, the paid in full deal. Whatever right now is the receipt that you need to bring to God. If it's a sickness or a disease that has been diagnosed or that you're facing or that you're journeying through. And just we're going to go, hey, listen, this is a receipt of your word. By your stripes, I'm healed. That's the receipt. Paid for in full. So if that's what you need, love to pray with you and do that. Thank you, Andrew. Man, bless you.